I just want to turn my Bible up the right way around, or else it won't go too well tonight. We bring greetings from South Africa. Before we came here, we had the privilege of being in Botswana. I don't know if many of you know where that would be, but some of you do. Fond memories of Botswana and Victoria Falls. But we had a privilege of doing a church planners seminar together with the church growth of many, many pastors from Zambia, Zimbabwe, from Mozambique, all over the place, Namibia. And it was such a privilege to see the hunger of God coming back into the church. Not for methodology, but for Jesus. And I do think we're getting into a season where methodology or strategy or how to is going to be a place that we get from Jesus rather than trying to get that right so that we can get Jesus. That it's going to be not the cart before the horse, as what we would say in South Africa. I don't know if you'd use that saying here. Oh, the full bale of hay as well. But it's going to be about Jesus. It's going to be about him setting things right, because isn't he supposed to be building the church? And we're supposed to be advancing a kingdom? What do we tend to do? Is to build the church, and nobody's advancing the kingdom. And I think we're going to get back to the place where we know Jesus, and it's not a phrase from that we're living with, but to know Jesus, to not only know him, not only love him, but be in love with him, and to make him known wherever we are. There's a scripture in Ephesians 6 verse 1 that says we'll be imitators of God everywhere. And then he talks about marriage, and he talks about parenting, and he talks about working in your workplaces. And he talks about various places that we got to imitate God. Actually, everywhere. Whether you're married or not married, whether you're single, wanting to get married for that guy to come along, Cassandra, just various others, but those things that we imitate God everywhere. And so this evening, if you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13 and 14, I just want to lay a foundation this evening, the how-tos we're going to come to, and all of those things. But if you read the Bible, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, even Hebrews, most of the epistles, there's a lot written about us and Jesus and very little about how we should act. And I think if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, it's all about Jesus, about us being seated in heavenly places, us hearing him. It's all about Jesus, us having the love of Jesus in our hearts. And then Ephesians 4, 5 and 6 tells us how we ought to live from the place of being right with Jesus. Because I want to tell you, if we can live that way, then tithing and then some of the issues we face and some of the things we face and the law and all of those things will not grip us, because we will not do works to perform. We'll do works because we love him. Because Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us in Christ Jesus. You see, so works is part of it, but not out of a law, not out of trying to please man or God, not even God. The works we do is because it's from a place of loving Jesus. It's from a place, because there's a kingdom and there's a king. And we are the subjects of the kingdom, and there is a king. And I don't know if you've ever read that book on the love languages. I don't know if you've got it yet. The different love languages, touch, feel, words of affirmation. Well, Jesus has a love language. And he says, if you love me, obey me. So what's Jesus' love language? It's obedience. Not to man, not the methodologies, but to Jesus. And so we want to express some of that. And I'm going to it's like I'm so bossy. Maureen's actually, I'm the head, but she's the neck that turns the head. So she's actually the boss. But Maureen's going to minister on Friday evening. And what she has in her heart is to talk about how we move from faithfulness in Jesus to fruitfulness in Jesus. And possibly, well, it depends.
You will talk that, woman. You will.
Yeah, only jokes. I still, do you want me to sing the song for her? I want to. I love. Okay. A.W. Tozer. He says this. We are called to an everlasting preoccupation with God's Son, Jesus. We are called to an everlasting preoccupation with God's Son, Jesus. And I want to talk a little bit about Jesus tonight, because that has to be our foundation for the next month. You guys have come out of a season, you've come out of certain things, but it's actually only when we focus on Jesus that we will get the answers that we need. And we get the revelation, and we get the healing, and we get the freedom, and everything from Jesus. Because ultimately, the name of Jesus, or the person of Jesus, is peace. We don't get peace. We don't get grace. If we get Jesus, we got grace and peace. And joy, and righteousness, and happiness, and everything else, if we got Jesus. So we don't have to ask for a whole lot of things. We just get Jesus. And we got them all. We feel part of our task this month is try to bring some understanding and clarity about Jesus. That Jesus is to be the one we're obsessed with. That the church will fall more in love with Jesus. That believers emphasize and their default will be to fall back on Jesus on every situation. What do you fall back when there's trouble? What do you fall back when you can't pay the bills? What do you fall back or onto when you get sick? And let it first be Jesus. He must be the default that we fall to. When you, as a married couple, go through a difficult time, it's got to be Jesus. Because if He's truly the head of your home, you will act and treat each other differently. We fall back on Jesus. That we all are all under the lordship of Jesus. If I was tonight, are you under the lordship of Jesus? I'm sure all of us would say yes. But I'm talking about truly, is He Lord? Because if He's not Lord, it's so easy to betray one another or to not trust or to get into some awkward situations. You look at Judas. When Jesus went around and He said, somebody will betray Me, all the disciples said, not our Lord. But Judas was the only one that said, not our teacher, rabbi. We got to see Jesus as Lord, as King, as Savior and friend, and not just as a teacher. He's got to be everything. So that our default will be to fall back on Jesus, no matter what. Surely not our Lord. Jesus says, surely it is not our rabbi, teacher. It is our duty, our desire, and our heart that Jesus is exalted in every meeting that me and Maureen would share with you. And I'm sure all of these things are basic, but as Mark said, we come to try and lay something down, but that we exalt Jesus. That Jesus is truly the head, the heart, and the hope of this church. And that every member can say that Christ in me is the hope of glory. Not Christ in Mike is the hope and glory. Not Christ in Tim is the hope of glory. Although I honor both these elders, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. That we honor Christ and that our hope is in Christ and that we build according to what He's building. That the Rock Church will never graduate from Jesus. We never graduate from Jesus. There is nothing more profound than knowing Jesus and making Him known everywhere. There's nothing more profound. And if you think of just those two things, knowing Jesus is the great commandment, which says we to love God We're to love ourselves and we're to love each other. That is his commandment. And then the great commission is to make him known. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching everyone to obey. For God is with you till the end of the age. But part of what we've got to learn, friends, is the great announcement. Where Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go. We have the authority and the power and the person and the presence of Jesus going wherever we go. That's why the Great Commission should be easy for us to perform. Why? Because the authority of Jesus is here with us. Knowing Jesus and making him known, let our message, our ministry, our motivation, all of that be about Jesus, the King of Kings, and we in that kingdom as his subjects. I want to take just a few moments. I'm going to do two teachings tonight. Is that okay? And we'll be here till about 12:30. You know, half an hour each. Is that all right? Is that the timing? Till 8:30? Is that good? I just want to take and talk on three things. And hopefully bring credit. Jesus is completely dependable, number one. Jesus is able to help and he knows how to help you today. Number two. Number one, Jesus is completely dependable. If you want to spell it dependable, shall I? He is able to help and knows how to help you. And I'm going to expound a little bit on all three of them. And number three, he knows you and he will help you if you let him. He knows you and will help you if you let him. I'm going to go with those three. Is that okay? First, just look at Jesus being dependable. An example of Jesus being absolutely, the Lord being absolutely faithfulness is when David went out to fight Goliath. We all know that story. One of the things I never really read, but I read it the other day when I really got into this again, is that David didn't only face Goliath, he faced Goliath and his shield bearer. And you know what a shield bearer does? He holds the shield and stops all the guys throwing the shields at the warrior, so the warrior could fight with the shield, the sword, and everything. So David had quite a... And the shield bearer must have been a big guy, because Goliath was a big guy. So imagine that. I mean, yeah, anyhow, that's another story. David did not want earthly armor or trust in any human effort, and he had no trust in the armor that would be dependable for him. He could not trust the armor was dependable. Folk, honestly, whenever any of us are about to face a giant, or you're facing a giant, or you've got to face something in life, you need something dependable to stand with you and to be with you. David had proof that the Lord was dependable. He said to Saul, "The Lord delivered me from the claws of the lion and the bear, and the Lord will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." You see, David knew that God was dependable. Don't ever forget, in your life, when you're facing a giant, it's sometimes good to just turn back and remember where God was dependable in your life. And remember the victories of the past so that you can face this giant, because you know God is dependable. David knew that the Lord was dependable. So with five stones, He went into the battlefield and he said to Goliath, "You come to me with sword, with spear, and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty." Wow. It was not David's fighting abilities that gave him the victory that day. It was his faith in the dependable one, the powerful one, the God one, the Almighty one. He knew that his God was dependable. And I want to say to the rock, to the folk here, and even the folk that aren't here, because God can work by his spirit. Even to Mark playing baseball, I hope he just gets a couple of good rounds, you know. That, oh, no, man, don't be horrible. Oh, awesome. But anybody, anywhere, God can touch right now. And God's promise to you and to them and to every Christian in Terrace, because it's never about just one church, it's about the body of believers in a community. He will never leave nor forsake you. It's God's promise. He will not leave you in the storm by yourself. And let me just say, some storms, Jesus sent the disciples across the ocean, and halfway across, they hit a storm by the will of God. And he teaches us some things in the storms that we go through in life. But he'll never leave you alone in a storm. Never, never, never. He will not let you fight the giants by yourself. God will put the right weapons in your hands to fight the right wars. The unfortunate thing with many, and me included, there's battles that we got to let God fight, and there's battle he wants us to fight. But most of the time we get them mixed up, and we cause hurt to the body of Christ, and we cause hurt to our partners, we cause hurt to our children and to relationships. We got to fight the right wars with the right weapons so that we win the battles. Amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus is the way, it says, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And then the Bible goes on and says, Jesus is the truth. Which means John chapter 16, John chapter 15, 14, where the Holy Spirit is Jesus, the truth in us. Because Jesus said, God will be in us. And then the life. John chapter 1, God is among us. God is among us this evening. Jesus is in us, the Spirit of truth. And God is with us. I tell you, friends, we never lose. We get to do everything again, even if we mess up. Trouble you will have in this world, but my peace I give you, and my peace I leave with you. And how does he do that? He himself is with us, in us, and among us. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is dependable. The next one is, God is able to help. While Jesus was on earth, he went about preaching, performing miracles. We read how he raised the dead. He made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. Excuse me. He cast out demons. He healed the crippled. He healed those with issues of blood. He provided provision by feeding the 5,000, the 4,000. He provided provision when they had to pay tax. He put some money in a fish's mouth. Jesus is still our Jehovah Jireh, our provider in this day. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today. Who can quote that? Jesus is the same yesterday and forever. Jesus did things for them. He'll do things for us today. Jesus did it for them then. He will do it for us today. Jesus was able to meet needs then, he's still able to meet needs today. But you have not because you ask not. I unashamedly ask God for extravagant things. But he might give me smaller things, but he still gives it to me. I do not believe that we can't go to God with our wants as well as our needs. He's my father. He's my father. My boys come to me and ask for everything. And I shared this story last time. Can you remember it? But we were in Los Angeles. It was midnight in Los Angeles, but late afternoon in South Africa. And in fact, we were coming here. One of the trips, I think we were on our way to Canada. And my son phones me from Johannesburg Airport. And he was working in Los Angeles. So he phones me, and we're in, obviously you're in another nation. Your son phones you, you think, oh, what's happened now? So he comes on the phone and he says, hey, Dad, you know, I'm at the airport. I just want to know how many air miles have you got? Because I want to be upgraded to business class. Just want to see if you got enough. So my immediate reaction wasn't about Jesus. It was probably of the devil, but you know, it wasn't cool. So I put the phone down, and then Maureen says, you know, aren't we like that with our Heavenly Father? We have not because we ask not. So I phoned the boy back, and I said, I've got some, and you can use them, my boy, you know. But the thing is, you know, God is able to, and God wants to help us, and he's the same as yesterday. And I mean, they had to pay taxes, and he says, there we are. They had to feed 5,000. The apostles looked in their pockets. Jesus looked what was in his hand. And he looked again and he said, oh God, help me. Well, he said thank you. But I think in his heart he must have said, I've got a problem. You know, like don't you think you're standing in front of everybody, they're hungry. And there's 5,000 plus people. And they want to eat. And you can't feed them. And you got 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. There's a problem. But the Greek word is anablepo. He looked at the problem. He looked what is in his hands. And he said, thank you, God, for what's in my hand. Now, it's your problem. And God multiplied. It's a lesson for us. How many of us say thank you for our jobs, for the money we get, for what's in our hand? We all want the lot, but actually it starts with being thankful what's in your hand. Anablepo. Look at what you got, be thankful, and look again and see God multiply. But it's with thankfulness that we get. Jesus knows how to help you because he knows you. He knows you. Jesus was there when you were born. Amen. My Bible says that Jesus, excuse me, my Bible says that Jesus knew me and you before you were in your mother's womb. Even if it was outside of marriage. And I'm not suggesting all those things are good, but I'm suggesting that Jesus knew. And Father loves you. Psalm 139, we'll read from verse 1. I just want to read this. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from the altar. If you're thinking, I wish that preacher finishes by 8:30. Jesus knows, but he still loves you. And he doesn't get angry with us. He's probably smiling. I'm also hoping he finishes by 8:30. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Isn't that amazing, love? He's familiar when we get angry. Just doesn't want us to lead it to sin, but he's familiar when we grumpy. No, you're not that in the morning anymore. You've learned. He also knows when we're happy. He also knows when you're sexy. He knows our ways. He knows everything about us. He is familiar with my ways, and he knows that I'm a small boy in an old man's body and I need to grow up sometimes. He knows my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I lie on my bed, you're there. In the depths, you're there. Oh, that I rise on the wings of eagles with you. Isn't that such a beautiful, that God knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. And where you're weak, he makes you strong. Why can't we treat each other that way? It's in our weakness that we got to help. It says, those who are strong amongst you, help those who are weak. Gently. Oh, that we can get the heart of Jesus with these things. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 8. I just love it. The fact is, Jesus understands you better than you understand yourself. So if you can't understand yourself and you're grumpy, don't be under condemnation. Just go to Jesus and let him work with you. Jesus understands your husband better than you do, wife. I want to show you something about how to handle when there's conflict in a home. You three girls, two girls. No, just two girls. Don't have to be married. I want to give you a picture of how to handle conflict in marriage or in relationship or at any other level. Two of you come stand here, please. Yeah, two. Okay. I'm God. You're at conflict with one another. No, it doesn't mean a guy or girls or friendship, but you're at conflict. No, you're not supposed to laugh at each other. You're at conflict with each other. What's it look like to have conflict with each other? Okay. This is the biblical way of how to handle conflict. Many times I've had to do that with Maureen because she needs God to help her a lot. So this is what it is. This is, now there's a conflict going on and it's not being resolved. How do we resolve it? If the problem is there, you've got to duck, go down, so that God can sort the problem out. Amen. And then you stand up, God sorted the problem up, and now you can love one another. You see, isn't that a wonderful picture of how one deals with conflict? We got to learn how to let God be God in every situation. And learn how to duck so God can sort the problem out. Amen. You see, God knows us. Jesus understands you better than you understand yourself. Jesus understands your partner or your friend or your business partner better than you do. So let Jesus sort the problems out sometimes rather than us trying to sort the problems out. Jesus knows your situations better than you know your situation right now. And he's knowing what you're thinking about your situation now. So how about giving to him what you're thinking and then help him and let him help you to make the right decisions in what you're thinking. So that Ephesians chapter 4 comes out that we speak to each other with words of grace that builds each other up and brings strength to the body of Christ. So that by this all men know that you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. I want to say love is the biggest evangelical tool for the church. And it's the one that the devil messes around with the most. And the elements of love is breaking of bread. What's divided the church the most is breaking of bread, as well as the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The church is divided on those things over the years. And both the Holy Spirit, the breaking of bread, and love is the very things God's given the church to unite us so the unbeliever can be drawn into the church. We've got to learn to love one another. And when we break bread, we honor Jesus. And when we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we ask Him to change us from glory to glory. He knows what you're going through, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, because He loves you. But please hear this. The Lord knows how to help you with any of your needs or whatever arises, but He wants you to want His help. He could just come, but He's such a gentleman, He won't come unless we ask Him. And friends, that's with everything. I mean, when I look at the Bible, the things Jesus helped people with, adultery, some of the most things we frown upon and judge, Jesus gave people opportunity to be healed and be set free. Oh, He can help us with everything. Doesn't matter what. God does not move according to your need. He moves according to your faith and trust in His ability to help you. Then God moves. Jesus is the help. I can surely do. Hopefully I get it the same way. God does not move according to your need. He moves according to your faith and trust that He can help you. And therefore, He says, you have not because you ask not. And when we ask and we want Him to help us, and we, it's not that we're all needy all the time, but when we need His help, we ask Him. And then He comes through for us. But many times we don't ask Him. As a last resort, we ask Him, and His mercy is still good enough to help Him, even though we should have done that up front. Say, God, I'm going through this. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. This business decision, help me, Lord. This wife of mine, help me, Lord. Okay, I'll duck. You sort her, Lord. But that we, that we go to Jesus quickly. And when we have messed up, when we have sinned, we don't run from Him, we run to Him. Because there's enough grace. It doesn't matter what it is. Part of my history before I became a Christian was in the war. I was for 14 months in combat. We took life. And that's one of the biggest things that I had to work with and deal with within myself when the calling of God came, that I couldn't walk into the ministry, and I knew the call of God. I'd studied for it, but I couldn't take the step because we took life. And forgiveness, I hope you love me still, but it was part of a war, and I was 17, 18, 19 years old. And we had to fight this war. It was compulsory. But I had to understand this grace. No matter what, Jesus can forgive you. And that's why I stand with grace. And I love grace. But not sloppy grace. It cost Jesus His life. And it tells me I can say no to ungodliness. A good grace. Amen. Is that cool? Cool. Jesus is able to meet all your needs. Jesus knows how to help because He knows you and He wants you and He desires you to help you. God has given us the Holy Spirit, and that's what I want to talk about the second session. First session, all about Jesus. Second session, Jesus is dependable, He wants to help you, and He knows you because He loves you and He wants to set all of us free this evening, no matter what your situation is. See, anybody, even right now, that just feels, I just need this dependable one to come into my circumstance. If that's you, I just want to say a prayer. Just respond in your heart, but if you want to stand and just say, yes, that's me, then I just want to pray a corporate prayer now. Because then I want to talk about how do we grip hold of this with the Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit ministry. So if that's you, just stand where you are, and I want to pray, just a corporate prayer. Where you are right now, Jesus, I need your help. I need your touch. I need to know that you're dependable. Just where you are. If you stand up now, then I'll pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for your goodness. We thank you where finances are needed, that you will provide, Lord. As your people ask you for those the release of finances, you will, Father, according to your word, meet all God's people's needs in Christ Jesus according to your glorious riches, and that there's no condemnation for those in Christ. I pray where there's relational breakdowns, Father, that you will heal them and you will bring oneness like you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. I pray where futures, where people's destinies have been affected, that you will come and bring the fire of God into destiny. Because ultimately, you are our destiny, Jesus. And wherever you are, you take us with you and you help us to get there. I ask you, Father, tonight, where doubt has come in you being the dependable one, Jesus, won't you this evening touch every single person that you can truly be dependent, even if folk are in the midst of a storm. Won't you come this evening, Jesus? Blow your breath upon your wonderful sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.